Turn her, please, to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Bow together for prayer. Father, we come before thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the Spirit of God might speak to our hearts as we look at the Word of God, that our wonderful Lord might be glorified. And we pray if there are folks here who don't know thee as Savior, that they might desire to come to the Savior tonight. In Jesus' name we ask thee, amen. I'd like to think on the greatness of the Lord. The Bible says, great is our Lord. I trust you'll see that as we read this Psalm 147, as I read verses 1 through 20. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek, casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of a horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of wheat. He sendeth forth his commandments upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. And notice in verse 1 it says, praise is comely. Comely means beautiful. When you are praising God, and you should be praising God continually, it is beautiful. This past week at our midweek service, there was some emphasis on thankfulness. Thankfulness and praise to the Lord. Praise is comely. Tonight, we're going to look at this area of praise. And it should be expressed by the fact that we consider the greatness of our Lord. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. Number one, he's great in power. We use the word omnipotent, means all-powerful. He's great in power, verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. And then number two, he's great in knowledge. And we use the term omniscient, means all-knowing. Verse 5 also says at the end, his understanding is infinite. That's quite a word for knowledge, isn't it? Infinite. It means it has no limit. There's no limit to God's knowledge. And if there is anything that illustrates this to us in our age of expanded knowledge, and we certainly live in an age of expanded knowledge, this verse 4 illustrates it. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. All by their name. You know, this summer I've had to pay much attention to a puppy. One of my goals was to get him through the night without an accident. So therefore, I would take him out late at night. It's kind of shorten the time between night and morning. I take him out late at night. I can't say I enjoyed that. I like to be falling off to sleep before it's late at night. But one thing it did that I can't say I had noticed in the past before I had the puppy and took him out late at night was I would gaze up at the stars on a clear night. And what an incredible sight that is. I don't know if you've been doing that lately, but I would just look and look until my neck hurt. And so many. There's so many different depths to it all as you look at them. And then, you know, I went up to Lake Champlain and I got an unobstructed view, being able to see, most all the horizon around me on a tremendously clear night to just gaze at those stars. I mean, you kind of gaze, you just keep looking. And it's staggering the number of them. I don't know about you, but the beauty and the formation of them, too, really, it gets a hold of you. Verse 4 says, He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. We don't know how many stars there are. The verse says, He knows every name. And then there's something else that's great about our God. He's great in size. He's great in power. He's great in knowledge. His knowledge is so great, He's got a name for every one of the stars. He knows every one of the stars' names. But He's also great in size. I don't know how much you've ever thought about that. He's great in size. Because, you know, a lot of people have seen the unbelievers in the world's pictures of God. You know, an old man with a beard. God is great in size. And we haven't been able to see the end of the stars with our greatest telescopes. He's present beyond the stars. That's great in size. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He's great in size. He extends beyond the universe. And I wonder if I could add my own here. I don't want to get off into inventing new theology, but I thought, how about omnipatient? You know, why do I say that? Because, you know, the greatest percentage of humans in this world, when they see that moving sight of all the stars, most human beings see all those stars. They don't think, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our Lord, for his pleasant and praises comely. They don't think that. What do you think that evolutionists think when they see all those stars? Certainly not verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power and his understanding is infinite. They don't think that. So that indicates to me that he must be all patient to not just strike everyone with an agonizing, incurable disease for their lack of love for him. Of course, the day will come, I believe, not when his patience run out, but when the Lord determines it's best to punish the wicked. Verse 6 and 7, the Lord lifted up the meek, casted the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. The greatness of the Lord is great in power, it's great in knowledge, it's great in size. You know, I was particularly struck by verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Can you imagine how much the Lord cares about the stars he created if he gave this innumerable object each a name? The stars. He gave them each a name. And we look up in the stars, we say, hey, I see a lot of stars. Some of our Christian school educated kids every once in a while start spouting off a few names of stars. When we look up, we see stars. Our God that fills the whole universe cared so much about the stars, gave every one of them a name. When I was on Lake Champlain, if I would have started counting the stars on that brilliant night, I'm told I could have seen 3,000 to 5,000 stars. Now, how I would have organized to count them, you know, I haven't been able to figure out. You know, the Lord knows them by name. You know, I was wondering how many stars Chester Coulis can see with his telescope. 100,000? Does he have the time or organization enough to count them? If he could see that many? He telleth the number of the stars, verse 4. He calleth them all by their names. 30 years ago, they were guessing that there were 30 billion stars, not including galaxies. Calls them all by their names. You know, I believe that because that's what it says. That's how I view the Bible. When it says something, I believe it. You know, some of what we see when we look up into the sky are planets. How many of you can name all the planets in our little old solar system? How many can name all the planets? And we'll raise them high. And keep them up in case I want to pick on you. Or a lot of people. A lot of people. All right, Tommy. Very slowly.
Mercury.
Venus.
Earth.
What?
Earth.
Good, that's three.
Mars,
Jupiter,
Saturn,
Uranus,
Neptune,
Pluto.
Pluto.
Good. A good advertisement for Calvary Christian School. You know, Tommy knows the names of all the planets, all nine of them. God knows the names of all the stars. You know, I don't spend much time thinking about Jupiter, do you? If you do, I'd wonder why. In my spare time, I wonder what's for supper. You know, Jupiter is 11 times bigger than the Earth. It takes 12 years to circle the sun. It's cold on Jupiter, maybe 200 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. Is Jupiter necessary? Perhaps. Perhaps the Lord put it there in much the same way that a woman decorates her house. Or perhaps, too, as a sign for astronomers to marvel. They ought to. They might fear the Lord and be saved. They ought to marvel at all those things. It ought to cause them to think. You know, it ought to really cause them to think. One day when there was no atmosphere and there was no air and there was nothing, and there was nothing next to nothing, and nothing next to nothing exploded, and all this stuff kind of happened. That's somewhat the evolutionist explanation for it. They ought to marvel at they ought to marvel at the sun. They tell me the sun's a star. You know, diameter of 866,000 miles compared to Earth, which is 8,000 miles in diameter. It's a revolving sphere of glowing gases. Never burns up all of its fuel. Maintains the same temperature for all these 6,000 to 10,000 years, however many years there's been an Earth. And that's something. It never burns up. Never changes its temperature. You know, if it did, we'd be finished. You know, the choices of what you believe are staggering. You know, if you believe that the sun evolved into a glowing ball that never burns out, and that just happens to be 93 million miles from Earth, if we're any closer, we'd burn, and if any further away, we'd freeze, and we rotate around it 365 and a quarter days each year. It never speeds up, and we never speed up, and never slows down. Our Earth's going 1,000 miles an hour, traveling 580 million miles each year, and we know in advance that sunset will be 7:07 tomorrow night, daylight savings time. And you can believe that all evolved. The problem is, evolved means constant change of something that keeps getting something more. And that's not what I described that we see. What we see is precision that does not change. The thing is, if you believe that God created and sustained these incredible things, you are considering a God who is light years beyond awesome. He knows the numbers of stars, and he has names for them. His size exceeds the galaxies. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And amazingly, number four, he cares for us. He careth for you, the Bible says. Verse 4 says, he telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. It staggers my imagination, I don't know about you. And if that staggers my imagination, so does verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. The greatness of our Lord shown throughout the psalm. Verse 8, who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Verse 16, he giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? These verses tell us what he does as a matter of course. Perhaps like a woman who decorates her house. But where does the Lord find pleasure? If he created all the stars, and He knows all the stars, and He knows all the stars by name. And He gives us the snow, and He covers the heavens with clouds. Where does the Lord find pleasure in all the things that He has created? Verse 11 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him." You know what? It's almost harder for me to believe that He could take pleasure in me than it is for me to believe He named all the stars. But I do believe it because I fear Him. I fear Him means that I have not a doubt in my mind that the size of the Lord goes far beyond the universe. He's present everywhere. He's present here. But He's present beyond the furthest star. I fear Him because He said it, and if He said it, I believe it. The greatness of our Lord, He's great in power, He's great in knowledge, He's great in size, and He's great in His care for us. It's amazing, isn't it? Let's bow for prayer. As we come to our prayer and invitation time, I wonder, are there those here who have never received Him as Savior? You are not certain that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? You have question? Would you put your faith and trust in Him now? What do you do? You believe in the greatness of God as described in that psalm. And you believe that He cared for you. The great demonstration that He cared for you was that when God became man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He paid the penalty for your sins on the cross because you couldn't be saved any other way. He paid the penalty for your sins. You ought to thank Him. We need to thank Him every day and praise His name for praises comely. If you have not received Him as Savior, would you do that right now? Say, "Lord, please save me. I believe what I heard about You. I believe it all. I believe what I heard about me, that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved, and going to church won't save me, being baptized won't save me, being a church member won't save me, and thinking good thoughts won't save me, but only what Jesus did on the cross can save my soul. Please save me." And those of you that are saved, I hope that you will increase in your praise and appreciation for how great a God we have who cares for us. Let's pray silently. May God help you as you make a decision. As our heads are bowed, before I pray, I want to ask if you made that decision. If you say, "Preacher, I just prayed for the Lord to save me. I mean it with all my heart." Would you raise your hand? Let me know. Just raise it up so I can see it. Is there someone? You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I'd like to be sure of that." Would you raise your hand and let me know? Father in heaven, Your greatness goes beyond our comprehension, but we believe in it. Your care for us also is great, and we love You for it. I pray that everybody here might know that. And if they don't, that they'll come see how to be saved. And Lord, I pray that every one of us that is saved might spend more time praising You the way we ought to, and thinking on Your greatness. Everywhere we go and everything we see, should shout the glory of God to us. I pray that that might be true of everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.